This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Thursday, January 21st. The time is 10:05 a.m., and we are here in studio ready for another fantastic show for you here today. Hey, first things first, no matter where you are, no matter how you are listening to us here today, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your day today. No matter if you're in the car, maybe you're at home, maybe you're at work, or maybe you are like Charlie. Maybe you're one of the new UT students who are back at school.
Bless their hearts.
If you didn't know that, UT students started classes again yesterday. So the kids are back in town. And that is where Charlie is today. So we have a three-man rotation. Myself, Rick Butler, to my left, Brandon Orrick, and, of course, the one and only Chance Collins back behind the booth. Good morning to the both of you. Happy Thursday. How are y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Okay. Good to hear.
Thumbs up from Brandon. I'm feeling good, Rick.
Good.
I feel fine.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
You know what?
It's another day that Jeremy Pruitt is not the head coach of the University of Tennessee football team.
I'm ready for it to be over.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
Wow. So fatigued from the last two coaching searches.
This one's different.
I did see a...
You just want to get this one done?
This one's different. It's not fun.
I do think that we're probably just going to get a mediocre coach. I don't think we're going to get a splash that we
probably
want. Yeah, I think it's just going to be Kevin Steele.
Oh.
I'm here to say that. I still got a coaching hot board, and it's changing every day. But I just think we're going to get, for some reason, just be stricken with the man of Steele.
Well, we have a big lead story today kind of in that area talking about coaching candidates and things like that. Chance, I'm pretty much with you, but I kind of think maybe the question we should be asking more is not who are you going to get, but who is willing to take on, I think, the challenge of Tennessee. And something that we're going to get into today is, I think, kind of what maybe this job
hold on.
Really is, yeah.
Have you seen this? Kevin Steele considering adding Rodney Garner to Tennessee staff. He's already making hires?
Yeah, well, they were talking. I heard the Drive mentioning that yesterday afternoon that we're bringing Rodney
Garner. He's already making hires?
Yeah, dude, he's going to be your coach.
But Rodney Garner was a name who has been tied to Tennessee for a little while now.
Big recruiting guy, right?
Yeah, so is Niedermeyer, supposedly.
Well, Rodney Garner was at Auburn as well with Malzahn and Steele.
Are we just trying to reassemble Auburn if we go down the Malzahn route?
There's no chance you get Malzahn with Steele here.
Yeah. That's still a name that's certainly talked about a lot. But
Is there any chance that we... I don't know. Like I said, I'm just ready for this to be over with. Mm. Let's just hire Jamie Chadwell and just call it a day.
I saw somebody tweeting
out. I would be happy with Jamie Chadwell. I think we could do much worse than Jamie Chadwell. Make Kevin Steele your defensive coordinator and call it a day.
Roll on.
Tennessee loves bringing back the retreads, don't they? Not saying Ronnie Garner is not a big pickup.
Look, I don't know how many big pickups they're going to be. Like, I do think that there's a level of, you know, giving them credit for if they can put together something that can hold everything together for a little while. I mean, we still got to talk about the big breaking news from yesterday, and that is the new additions to Tennessee's transfer portal. Like, there's huge names. So I think that, like, this is not about, hey, can we rebuild a new great staff? Can we put this new edgy staff together to compete in the SEC East next year? Ah, no. I think it's just about, can you get something to hold the program together right now? Things aren't looking good for next year. Well, you just need to hold it together.
I mean, the players that left were all recruited by Niedermeyer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not really surprised that they left.
Oh, I'm not surprised that they left either. I think that, you know, we kind of had general ideas that things still might not have been done in the transfer portal, but that's still huge production. I think I texted you guys yesterday, and in a little bit of a joking fashion, but, you know, there's always a little bit of truth, you know, built in there somewhere. What position are we returning our most productive player? There's only a few.
You expect me to think that hard this early in the morning?
I mean, right now, the position where your most production, I guess, comes from wide receiver. Or maybe you look at...
What'd you lose from there? Like your two guy?
Yeah,
two?
But I'm saying you still got Hyatt. You still got Jones, the transfer.
Yeah.
Vilas.
And he did tweet out, actually, that he was going to stay. He's locked in.
He did tweet out that he was all in.
I guess he wasn't getting McDonald's bags.
I guess not. But,
maybe not. Maybe a little bit on – not really the offensive line. I mean, you just got Cade Mays and you got Cooper. Cooper.
And then, you know, obviously we know the losses on the defense, and you add in two big linebackers yesterday who now have entered the transfer portal.
The defense seems to be taking the worst hit.
It does.
That's an easy answer. I know everybody knows that, but it is. Kevon Bennett, obviously what happened with him. Then your best defensive player, likely, or at least top two, Henry Toto, and he's in the transfer portal.
I would say, and
who's going to want our offensive players?
Bryce Thompson is in there.
Yeah, Bryce Thompson. Well, Bryce Thompson is going to the draft.
To the NFL.
Yeah.
Say that again.
I said, who's going to want our offensive players? Our offense was terrible. It was doo doo.
Do you still have Alante Taylor?
For now.
For now. Very much so. For now. He's been there. Very combative, it seems like, with the fans, kind of like tweeting about it. I thought I saw a couple tweets from him.
Well, him and I know Darrell Middleton has.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen a lot of, I think, backlash, maybe, is a good word, from the players. And I get that.
Love their coach.
Yeah. Even if things aren't going well, like, I still think that.
Well, their coach stinks.
You know, you probably have a bond. Also, you know, you probably like the guy, you know, when they're cheating. And you are getting those kind of benefits. So those are just a little bit of the stuff we got to get into today. Again, some of the players who have newly entered the transfer portal for Tennessee, and then as well as here in a couple minutes, we're going to start and lead with the coaching search candidate story. So that is a little bit about what is on the menu today. Otherwise, though, I do want to talk about this basketball team a little bit. Coming up here on Saturday night, you got another top 20 matchup with Missouri, a team that you spanked on the road earlier in the year. What do you expect going into this game here in about 2 days? We'll get into that and then see what else we can get into for the day. But obviously, still among the football news, still among the biggest news out there, so that's the main part of our show today.
I don't like it that Brandon's already over it. I need to say that. that he's already over it over
oh,
there.
Oh, you know.
This is.
I gotta agree.
This is it's some of the more fun times we've always had.
This one's different, Chance. This one's different. It's not fun.
I feel like
it's
this
not
is
fun,
going.
But this is what we wanted. We wanted him gone. We wanted to be having a coaching search to get a new coach in here.
Here's my thing. Like, I don't ever wish for a coaching search. I just wish for a good coach. I feel like this is going to be a little bit, like, sinful almost to say. But, like, I don't always enjoy the coaching search. I saw somebody on Twitter yesterday, and they were saying, like, man, like, this is what we live for as Tennessee fans. Like, this is the most fun time of the year. This is the most fun time of the program. And I was like, man, that's sad.
No.
That's not good.
No, see, coaching searches are fun.
The previous two.
What happens from the coaching search is not the fun part.
Well, the previous two coaching searches have been fun. This one's different. I mean, the last two, you fired Dooley and you fired Bush because they just didn't get the job done. You fired them because they sucked and they couldn't win enough. And then you weren't in a terrible position as a program. Yeah, you were kind of down in the dumps. But you still had a pulse, and you still had the hope of, oh, maybe we can hire John Gruden. Oh, maybe we can hire Mike Gundy. And then, I mean, obviously that didn't work out, and we ended up settling for less like we have so many times. But this time it's different because not only did he not win enough, but he cheated multiple level one violations. Cheated to get you to 3-7. The football program is cratered right now.
Oh yeah, he cratered on his way out. He threw some gas on the fire. Walked out with the flames behind his back
and
with a big couple birds up in the air.
And I don't, like I said, the other ones you had hope that you could get a John Gruden and whether that was realistic or not. And this time I feel like there are plenty of good candidates, but like Which one of those are going to want to come?
Yeah.
This late in the game to leave your school where you're at now to come? And it's not like, I mean, we're not the pretty girl at the dance anymore. We got zits all over our face where we could stand to lose a few pounds.
Yeah.
We're not good looking right now.
No.
Well, you're not, but it still is the SEC. It's still a big job. I mean, it still is. Yes, it's not what it used to be. Can't fool ourselves with that. I still think you can go out and get – damn good coach to turn it around.
Yeah. Here's the way that I look at it with the coaching search and kind of the analogy that just came to my head just a second ago. The coaching search to me is like a really good amusement park, right? I don't know when the last time you guys have been to an amusement park was, but for me it's been a while. The next time I go to one, it's going to be awesome, right? Like it's going to be a blast because I love a good amusement park. I love to go on the roller coasters and see the attractions and see the sights and everything like that. So maybe you go to Dollywood or something sometime, and then you go back the next weekend, and it's still pretty fun, but like you just did some of those things. You were just on that one roller coaster. You just saw that one show. And then you go back for a third weekend in a row, and you're like, okay, well, now I'm a little bit tired, right? Like I've done these roller coasters a couple times. The newness factor has gone away. The shine has gone away a little bit. I'm just kind of repeating the same things a little while, or so often, you know, maybe I want something different. Maybe I want to go to a different place. Maybe I want to go see a different thing. To me, that's the way I look at this coaching search. First couple times around, it's a bright, shiny, new toy. The third time around in this many years, it's like, God, I can't believe we're still here. Like, are we really going to ever going to get out of this? At least in the near future.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think they can.
So that's at least kind of sometimes the way that I look at it. But either way, it doesn't matter if you've been to the park 5 weekends in a row or if you're going for the first time, we are still here and we're still in the middle of a coaching search. And this is what we are known for and this is what we do best. So, hey, we have to hold up to the bar that we have set for
ourselves.
Yeah,
you're going to have to pep up, Brandon. You're going to have to pep up. Know what you need to go do. You got to run a lap, drink a bang or something.
Bang!
Maybe some coffee. Yeah. Get somebody to make you some coffee in the back.
I'm not picking coffee.
Brandon, maybe this will pep you up. Coming up next, we got a story on the one and only Right Reverend Hugh Freeze. Could he possibly be heading to the SEC? What did Commissioner Sankey have to say? That is coming up next right here in the Blitz. All right, gentlemen, here we go back here on the Blitz, 10:22 a.m. right here on Fan Run Radio. Coming up next, we're going to be talking a little bit about SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey and his most recent comments on Hugh Freeze and the potential of an SEC team hiring Hugh Freeze at really any point, and basically mentions Tennessee without actually naming Tennessee and kind of what that would look like. So I think these are extremely interesting comments. It looks like SEC Commissioner Sankey joined the Outkick the Show. This is Clay Travis's show over in the Mid-State, and this was yesterday. So here's a little bit about what Sankey had to say. So I guess the question was asked, you know, hey, what does that kind of look like? What does a potential return to the SEC look like for a guy like Hugh Freeze, who just had a successful run at Liberty? And here's what Greg Sankey had to say. Quote, well, I give Hugh credit for his work at Liberty. It was fun to watch their bowl game and seeing him with his family at the end of the game with a smile on his face. Good for him and how he's turned the page. Then he goes on to say, our schools make their own hiring decisions. I think we've been clear that the conference membership established that each school is responsible for a head coach position or assistant coach position to fully evaluate the background of the candidates. They do that through our office. We share information that is publicly available. Then they make decisions. He also kind of went on to mention that, you know, some schools have to tread lightly, basically, for lack of a better word, when making this hire. The exact quote was, some schools had to, quote, have to proceed carefully. Here's the last interesting thing he said. He did go on to say this, quote, particularly when there's an issue or concern like has arisen this week, there has to be extra caution exercised. That's basically where he talks about Tennessee without actually naming Tennessee. But look at that quote again. Particularly when there's an issue or concern like has arisen this week, there has to be extra caution exercised. I won't speak to any individual. I get blamed for a lot, so I'll take the blame. We expect our universities, and they expect each other, to be responsible in their personal decisions. Ultimately, our campuses make those decisions. So all in all, there you go. That was kind of some of the comments that Sankey had made on Travis's show yesterday. Brandon, what do you take away from that?
I don't know. It feels like a very diplomatic answer. Where he's not coming out and saying, no, you can't hire Hugh Freeze. There's a ban on SEC schools hiring Hugh Freeze.
Mm.
But it seems like he's saying, at least to me, you can hire him if you want to, but it may not be the wisest decision.
Yeah.
Especially given the circumstances surrounding Tennessee.
Yeah, man, the biggest thing that I take away is he did. Like, he has that exact quote right there, our schools make their own hiring decisions. So to me, like, if you want to take anything for face value, and I think the conversation is how much stock do you want to put into something at face value, but if you want to look at that right there, that is fairly clear. Our schools make their own hiring decisions. I think we've been clear that the conference membership established that each school is responsible to fully evaluate the background of each candidate. However, I do think that obviously Tennessee is going to be a their name is underlined right now. Like their name is italicized and in bold, just because of everything that's gone on this week. I obviously don't think I don't think it was out of the ordinary for him to say something like, particularly when there's an issue or concern like has arisen this week, there has to be extra caution exercised. I do think that you need to put value in that as well if you're looking at Hugh Freeze and trying to connect him back to Tennessee.
I also think One, you can take it as, I think you can take it two different ways. Like, he's saying, like, well, Tennessee, with what they've had going on this week, may not be that smart for them to hire Hugh Freeze. But then on the other hand, too, I think he could also be saying, well, you know, schools can hire Hugh Freeze, or you can hire individuals of this ilk who have been down this pathway, and they could go ahead and do that. But kind of slyly, like, saying, but we will be watching.
Yeah, yeah.
we will be watching very, very closely. Because yeah. He says, like, schools need to proceed carefully. So he said, like, yeah, there's no ban. Like, I'll take the blame. But we expect our universities, and they expect each other to be responsible in their personnel decisions. But ultimately, they make their own decisions. But, like, you guys can go get him, but don't think I won't have my officials watching you guys from day one.
Sure. It's like maybe when you get your first, you know, your driver's license at 16, and your parents say, you know, hey, yeah, you can go out and do this by yourself. You can go out and drive by yourself, but don't think that I won't be watching some extent.
I'll find out.
Don't think that I don't have some kind of idea. So, yeah, I'm with you there. Let's see. I got another follow-up, but we will get to that here coming up in a couple minutes, because right now we got a couple minutes here. Let's head over to the G3 Help Me hotline, which you yourself can go ahead and call by dialing up the number 865-546-8200. Chance, who is up first for us here today?
Up first, we got Big Josh.
Big Josh, hey, good morning, Big Josh. Welcome into the show today. How you doing?
How you doing? Good, Rick.
What's going on?
What are you Outlaws into?
Just trying to keep this...
Trying
to keep things positive, Josh.
We're trying to figure out if we can get Freeze.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get Freeze.
Me neither.
But I do think if, you know, Houston said Kiffin's still calling people wanting this job, if I don't see any reason why they shouldn't hire Kiffin. I mean,
I'm with you.
It makes too much sense, Josh.
You're right about that.
That's why we won't do it.
We're the brand is McDonald's, you know. I mean, get some juice in here. Change the narrative. Chadwell's not going anywhere. I mean, he's born and raised in East Tennessee. I mean, you can offer him, if Kiffin flames out and leaves this roster stacked, after this NCAA mess, he's set up perfectly to come in here. If he is who people think he is. They give this damn job to Kevin Steele. I mean, they might as well just bury the damn thing.
Really, though?
I don't think it is Steele. I think he's playing political games with these articles and stuff. They're not, you know, I wouldn't put anything past these idiots after that press conference. But surely they're smarter than that. I mean,
The only thing that I can think of that makes sense, because I don't think that they can just trot Kevin Steele out there as the next coach and expect this fan base to be okay with it. Maybe Steele is going to be the defensive coordinator for whoever they hire, and he's just kind of filling out his defensive staff right now with the whole Rodney Garner thing.
Yeah, I think their hope is that whoever they hire will end up kind of putting Steele and Garner in the fold, but, you know, this job's already toxic enough if you're putting stipulations on what you got to do to these coaches.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of that. Let the guy hire who he wants to hire.
Yeah, really. I don't buy into all these, like Chance said, these retreads, too. I mean, it's not 1995 anymore.
I mean, I get it. Rodney Garner recruited a lot of guys on that national championship team, and I mean,
it's 2021.
No, I know.
I'm talking to the people. It's 2021, people. I don't care who he recruited in 1998.
Yeah, like we keep. I know that he's supposed to be a great recruiter, a great defensive line coach, but it just seems like we're going after losers. Like people who just got fired, losers, when we can go after.
This is a good old boys club, Chance. And I mean, everybody does this, and it's just not working.
I mean, we might as well just call up Cutcliffe, Josh.
Yeah, and Josh,
see if he wants to come be the offensive coordinator.
I understand that, but like, just like I'm sure you believe, like Brandon and Rick, like if we're going to reset, let's reset this damn thing, because whatever they keep doing with this good old boys club, it ain't working.
Yeah, it sucks. The way I look at it is we're going to be shorthanded. So get somebody in here that can at least develop a quarterback, and we can move the football around and
score points.
Score points.
God, wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice to score like over 40?
Wouldn't it be so nice to score some points?
Yeah, I mean, if you can score points like what Barrett Salee put, I mean, we're almost guaranteed 5 or 6 wins when the schedule comes out, man.
I mean, look at Ole Miss. They didn't have the best team in Kiffin's first year there, but they stayed in a lot of games because they could score points. And
they put up 50 on Alabama.
Yeah, on Alabama.
If you give Kiffin UT's platform, I don't have any doubt that he would get some top-notch players in here. I think he's a better coach than Kirby Smart. I think he's a better coach than maybe everybody in the East except Mullen.
You know, I agree with you. I think so, too.
I don't see why you wouldn't do it. I mean, if they say it's frustrating, man. Frustrating.
Can't even get the words out, Josh.
Hey, did you watch Arkansas and Auburn last night, Chance?
I didn't get a chance to see that one. I had some other duties.
That's a great game. That Musselman, I've listened to you say he's a great coach, but last night he proved it to me. He started double-teaming that Cooper kid.
Yeah.
Sharif Cooper.
And he went and played small ball, and they came back from 19 down to win.
Some strong coaches in this
Musselman,
league.
Musselman really is. He's a talent, man. No doubt.
It got me thinking. I'm starting to think we're kind of playing a little antiquated basketball. This spacing and finding guys who can slash and shoot the three is the future. And, I mean, I don't know, man. After that Florida game, it's got me having some doubts about what we're doing at the moment.
So. Yeah, I think our biggest thing with the basketball team, Josh, I don't think we have a leader. We don't have a go-to guy when we need a bucket, when we have to have a basket. Who are you going to go to? Who?
Well, I'm all for culture, but culture don't shoot it, and culture don't, you know. You got to score points. You can't score points. Like
back to that old thing.
You got to have a quarterback, and you got to score points. I mean, when you play teams like LSU, Auburn, Alabama, you're going to have to score with them.
Yeah.
You're not going to shut them down. I mean, so I don't know. Anyway, y'all hang in there.
Hey, appreciate the call as always, Josh. Yeah, Tennessee just has a scoring problem. What is going on right now? Basketball, football. Let's just get some offense in here. Let's just get a little excitement in here. Hey, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this. 100. We love to talk to the people. We love to talk to you out there. We got our phone lines filled up, but they will be out soon. Coming up first on the phone lines, we'll check in with Nate. Good morning, Nate. Welcome into the Blitz today. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. I appreciate you having me on. In the middle of this dumpster fire again.
Hey, if we can't do it together, well, what are we doing?
I mean, that's what brought me to Fox Sports Knoxville in the first place. Like 2017, one of these coaching searches. I'm down in Atlanta, you know? So appreciate what you guys do, and you guys keep it fun and interesting. But I got to be honest. There should have been like a breaking news, like, alert or something for that Greg Sankey bit, because that seems very notable, fellas, as far as Hugh Freeze is concerned. Campuses make their own decisions.
Yeah,
but
you know,
two different ways.
Yeah, you know, I kind of thought the same thing, and really, this is a story that came out yesterday afternoon, maybe around 3 or 4, but it really wasn't talked about it in the afternoon. Right. Like, I hadn't seen it make its way around the news feed or anything like that, and I had showed it to Brandon Chance this morning. And then, you know, they had not exactly seen the full story either. But this is big. I mean, he definitely directly implies something about Tennessee connecting to Hugh Freeze in some kind of fashion, right? When he talks about when he goes down there and says, particularly when there's an issue or concern like has arisen this week, there has to be extra caution exercised. It's noteworthy.
And, I mean, when he says that, couldn't that just be contractual? You know, we put it into part of the contract, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe that's what he's talking about. But then he goes out of his way to say campuses make their own decisions, universities make their own choices. He said it like two different ways in the same interview. It means if the man was completely saying no to Hugh Freeze coming to Tennessee. Like, he was posturing as that much. He would have postured much differently than that, I would assume.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he absolutely had the opportunity there to shut it down if that's what the direction that the SEC wanted to go. But you're right. Within these, I want to say, four sentences, he says, our schools make their own hiring decisions. And then he closes it out three sentences later with, they make decisions. So absolutely, I think he is kind of putting the ball in into the school's courts, and he's letting us know as the fans, you know, hey, you're going to your school for this, man. We can put it in their court.
Absolutely. And then I just wanted to make one more kind of comment. I don't know, I think Davey was on it yesterday, and I know Trey Wallace has been hot on the trail overall, but it sure seems to me that the first batch of players that hit the transfer portal were, quote, ledger players, in my opinion. Sure seems like it.
Yeah. It is, man, and we're seeing these players come out. And it, yeah,
they were
and
all Niedermeyer was the primary recruiter on most of those. I mean, things
continues to roll out.
Things looked a little fishy.
Not filet fishy.
I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of those names are on those ledgers that are being talked about. Last little comment I had to get in here. Would you guys rather have SEC retread position coaches in here or Butch Jones's non-Power 5 best staff in America?
Man, I think it's hard to classify. You know, like it is kind of hard to, like, what exactly is a retread? Some retreads have worked out well, others have not worked out well. Some, you know, non-Power 5 guys have worked out well, others have not. Again, I think that a lot of Tennessee fans are getting to this point, maybe in this coaching search specifically, where a lot of people are saying, hey, these guidelines or these categories that we've had, you know, a VFL tie or got to have orange in their blood or got to have this kind of experience. I think for a lot of people, that's kind of going out the door, and they're just saying, hey, we just want to make a good hire. So I don't have an exact answer to that question. Maybe Chance and Brandon have a better one. But I do think it's just by individual basis, and each one's a little bit different, and it's just about making the right one.
Well, I mean, it just seems like it's not working. Like, they keep wanting to go back to the retreads and don't want to think outside the box and go outside of what Tennessee would normally do. And they've been doing that since, I mean, I guess since Fulmer left, in a sense, like with Dooley's staff, trying to bring back some guys familiar. I mean, with this staff, with bringing Kevin Steele back, with trying to bring in Ronnie Garner again. I mean, it just seems to me like, okay, that's cool and all, and maybe that does hype up some of the old fans. But, like, as time goes on, those old fans get replaced by the younger fans. I mean, what are you doing for trying to sell tickets to your 35? I mean, your 35 to 25 crowd now. The people that we constantly talk about, I'm 36, but when we're talking about Brandon and Rick, like, that really, they know Tennessee was great, but they haven't seen it since they've really followed college football, outside of Brandon, who grew up here. But, like, yeah, like, what are you doing?
No, I'm with you. I'm 28 years old, trust me. Last good memory I have is sitting in the stands against LSU when Fulmer lost that SEC championship, we're up at halftime. So I'm right there with you. Do you guys think that this mass exodus, which was sort of expected in a way, is going to hasten the AD search at all? I mean, Paul Feinbaum acted like the hire was going to be announced within 48 hours of that press conference the other day, yet here we are with no AD.
Yeah.
I'll let y'all go. Thank you.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah,
appreciate
hey, man, call in again. We'd love to hear from you.
I don't think the players leaving speeds up the process. I mean, it's got to roll with the punches. But Feinbaum did kind of indicate that we were pretty close to hiring an AD. But like you said, I mean, here we are, still don't have one.
Yeah, I thought he was even saying that. Does it make it seem like a tough hire now since you have all these players leaving and the negative PR? I mean, AD, like, you just got to go out and find a great AD. Like, I mean, great. Like, that's what we've been selling for good. You need a great one. You need somebody who's built a program, who's not just a fundraiser like Curry was when they brought him in, but somebody who actually is going to care about football. Doesn't have to be a Tennessee person. I guess it's cool if it is somebody that you're familiar with, like Ingram or, I guess, Gilbert. But just go out and get somebody who actually has a plan, and not a plan just to muck it up and kiss butt to boosters. Like, I'm serious. Like, not to just kiss ass all the time. I know. I just said kiss ass. Not to just kiss ass and show face, but somebody who's actually going to get in here and make this football program something great again and care about the athletics and hold coaches accountable.
Man, you're sitting at the poker table. At some point, you got to stop being dealt a 2 and a 6 each time to start out your hand. I'm just hoping that maybe this is the go around where maybe you start with an ace in the hand as well. 865-546-8200. Let's go over to the phone lines right now. Get a call and check in with Phil. Philly, good morning. Welcome into the Blitz today. How you doing, my man?
Good morning, fabulous.
What's going on?
How are you, Chancellor and Brandon, though?
Hanging in there.
Doing great, Phil.
Interesting conversations this morning.
Hey, what stood out to you the biggest? What was the biggest news to you from yesterday? Was it, you know, the boys entering the transfer portal, Toa Toa and Crouch and Johnson and Gray, or was it actually maybe this Hugh Freeze conversation with Greg Sankey that we've been talking about a little bit?
Well,
today?
We can. All honesty, I think Sly's a hypocrite because I don't hear anything about the LSU's football probation that's going on right now and their investigation. And then if Kirby Smart helped turn Tennessee in for what's going on here now, I guarantee you Georgia's really doing some good accounting work down there. You know what I'm saying?
They got all their numbers in order, huh?
Yeah, and then Jeremy Pruitt was at Alabama. You don't tell me Alabama don't do it.
Well, I think that's where he learned it.
Yeah,
it just
still
must
got
be better.
Pearl and Will Wade are still nothing been done to either one of them yet.
All right, then let's talk about those transfers. What was your thought on those four guys?
I could care less. They're not that big of an impact. I mean, we're no good.
We went 3-7. I'm not that worried about it.
I saw somebody say the same thing on Twitter yesterday, and I wish I could give credit to who it was, but I did see that thought, and that kind of put it in perspective for me. It was like, man, this is a 3-7 team. Like, yeah,
okay.
you might lose some. You can lose your best players, but at the end of the day, this was a poorly coached, poorly executed 3-7 team. There are bigger issues.
Yeah, they probably got bought and paid for themselves, those players that left.
Yeah, but then again, granted, like, you're probably going to be looking at the next couple of years minus a couple of scholarships. I would imagine that could very well be one of the consequences that comes out of all of this. So it is still unfortunate to lose some of these guys, considering you could be at a disadvantage going forward.
I think the biggest story of the day was when I was during the W show, they were talking about Fulmer's contract.
Mentioned that yet.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been fired with calls, and he shouldn't get any buyout at all. I mean, Fulmer's already made plenty of money off Tennessee. He's made millions off Tennessee already.
Right. So,
and he's the number one reason we're in this predicament. He hired Jeremy Pruitt and was asleep at the wheel while this was going on.
Yeah, so it was announced yesterday that Tennessee's going to be paying Jeremy Pruitt out until sometime in 2023 or so.
Phil Fulmer.
Yes, Phil Fulmer. About, you know, a little bit more than $1.3 million, according to our good friend Blake Topmeyer from yesterday. Yeah, that was crazy. You can really just tell that we know everything that happened. Like, we know the reporting has been very good. We know so much of the details. Phil Fulmer sat up there at the press conference acting like he wasn't completely tied into this whole mess with Pruitt, and now he's going to just collect money over the next two to three years. It's wild.
Yeah, you got to give Topmeyer a lot of credit. He's the one who really started the ball rolling with the need, and then Trey got in there too, and then once those two got involved, then it's just kind of like the waterfall just broke.
You know, I got to say, obviously, I have not ever lived in another college town or gone to school at another place or worked for another school in any kind of capacity, but I would put Knoxville's local reporters up there against anybody in all of college athletics, between anybody here, and especially, you know, our own Trey Wallace and friend of the show, Blake Topmeyer, like you just said, those two guys out of this world with what they do.
Well, now, what are we going to do now? The first thing to do is get a competent athletic director and let him make the decision on the football coach. I don't know what they're going to do. This search firm, didn't do too well last time. And
they haven't done well any time that Tennessee has used them, really. Like, they haven't. They keep going back to the Parker search firm, right?
We got the sheriff leading the charge once again.
Oh, boy. It's something, man.
Yeah, it really is.
maybe we'll figure it out. At least Bears finally figured out what the battle captain's all about. See.
Speak of the devil, Chance, I saw that Bear has just followed you on Twitter as of yesterday. Did you see this, Brandon?
He's a punk and a clown.
Bear was not even following Chance.
And then you know what he told me?
On the Twitter machine.
He said, well, I blocked you a couple weeks ago because we were feuding.
What?
And I was like, what? What do you mean we were feuding? Bear is the only person that we know still to this day that has feuds with people when you don't have a feud with them.
All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, wrapping up hour number one here in just a couple of minutes. Man, we still got a ton of stuff to get into. Here, starting out hour number two, we're going to talk a little bit about this Philip Fulmer story that we had mentioned a couple minutes ago with Phil. We'll give you kind of all the details on what is happening with the buyout and what is happening with the payout and everything like that. And we'll continue a little bit of this Tennessee conversation. Also, give you all the news we know about these four players that we've been talking about today that have entered the transfer portal for Tennessee, so you can be up to date on the information. So, of course, we've still got plenty left in the show, but I did have a – yeah, go ahead.
Go finish.
Oh, I was going to say, I did just have a quick little story about a follow-up for a conversation we talked about yesterday. So, Chance, I can't remember now off the top of my head, I'm blanking, but – what was it yesterday that made us bring up talking about the movie The Program?
I think we were just talking about the McDonald's money bags.
Okay, so
it just ventured off into us like it's like the running the program over here, you know?
Yeah.
Like you got the boosters, you know, dropping money and just getting sloppy, and then I was talking about, you know, everything that's happening. It just kind of reminded me of The Program.
So here's a funny Tennessee
Friends of
story.
The Program.
Yeah. So here's a funny Tennessee-related story. So I guess that game was filmed. So it was a 1993 movie, so it must have been filmed in, I guess, 92 or maybe at the end of 91.
Yeah.
But the actual in-game part of it was filmed at the University of South Carolina at Williams-Brice Stadium and basically was filmed during a Tennessee-South Carolina game.
Yeah, it was filmed... it was a couple different universities, actually. South Carolina, you're right. Boston College, Duke, Michigan, and
okay,
Iowa.
So that was one of them.
Yeah, but South Carolina is definitely.
So that was one of them, and, you know, my dad had called me after the show yesterday, and he was saying, hey, you got to tell Chance that actually you have, you know, seen that movie, or you have talked about it, or at least you know about it, because I've told you the story. Apparently, my dad was there at that game that they were being filmed, and... you know, he said, of course, you know, you had little patches of orange everywhere. And if you look closely in the movie, there's actually places in some of the big wide shots where you can see little patches of orange because that was the Tennessee fans in the movie. So, moral of the story is that he was sitting with all the Tennessee fans at the time. And when they came out to film the movie during halftime, you know, they'd give instructions. Hey, we're filming a movie. It's called The Program. You know, when this happens, we're going to film this play. We need everybody to cheer wildly after this play happens.
Yeah.
So he said, of course. And I love how this could be true. What is it, 28 years later? He said, right when they would say, all right, in 5 seconds, everybody cheer. 5 seconds would go by, and the whole Tennessee section, boo! Boo! And just completely causing havoc in the middle of trying to film this movie. And again, I couldn't help but think. I was like, man, 28 years later, I think that's the exact same thing. I think that's the exact same way that Tennessee fans might try to have a little bit of fun. Try to derail
definitely.
That movie filming. But anyways, talking about derailments, well, let's talk about Tennessee football a little bit more. Coming up next, we'll talk Philip Fulmer's brand new buyout information as well as these new players who have entered the transfer portal. Hey, don't go anywhere. Hour number two of the Blitz coming up next.